How are we doing tonight?
Great. How are you doing, Joe?
Oh, doing excellent. Been a busy week wrestling-wise. And
yes.
It's weird because the way we cover these events, sometimes it almost feels like we're a week behind. But luckily, that gives us plenty of news to talk about going into these GCW shows.
Yeah. Well, there's big news from the get-go. I'm thinking that you're talking about Tony's announcement.
That was one of the two big stories this week. Tony Khan buying ROH, announcing it at the start of Dynamite. That was huge. And then I would say almost equally as big is Vince McMahon being on the Pat McAfee show. Not necessarily for anything he said, because sure, he's going to induct the Undertaker into the Hall of Fame, and I'm sure that's the news that Vince McMahon saw as coming as the headline out of that. But I thought just the fact that he gave an interview and came off as normal as Vince McMahon can come off in an interview.
I didn't catch any of that. As you know, I'm kind of one of the WWE, but yeah, I did hear something about him being on that show.
Even not being a big WWE watcher, like, I don't keep up with the week-to-week product, and sometimes the pay-per-views are hard to watch. But just getting to hear him, talk is fascinating. A couple things that I thought were surprising were, not only was Pat McAfee cursing a lot around him, he was using the word wrestling a lot. And he brought up AEW. Vince McMahon brought up his dad being a part of the NWA. And there were so many things I didn't expect to hear. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, Lee. If you want to give the people the intro, I will. We'll kind of get into the Tony Khan talk, and then I'll get a little more into the Vince McMahon, and then we'll jump into the GCW. But I hate to deprive these people of an intro.
Well, definitely. Well, everybody, the Unscripted Violence. If you're new here, welcome. And if you're not, welcome back. We always love our listeners. And it's myself, Stagger Lee, with producer Joe. And what's first that we want to talk about this week?
Let's start off with the Vince McMahon, since I already started the talk, and I don't have a ton more to add. I just want to say that whether you're a current WWE fan, whether you're a lapsed WWE fan, go on YouTube, find Vince McMahon on the Pat McAfee show. I think he went a little over an hour. I watched it until the absolute last minute that I had to walk into work yesterday. And I got my balls busted for it because Thursday is a busy day for us. But if Vince McMahon is going to put himself out there, I'm going to listen to what he has to say. And now, I'm surprised we didn't get the Mr. McMahon character out of him.
Is he doing this WrestleMania? Is that what I'm hearing?
He is not. From what I can gather, because I've been doing a little editing, I believe on SmackDown tonight, or during the interview, he told Pat McAfee he had a match. And then tonight on SmackDown, they set up a match with Austin Theory, which half the reason I was tuning into the interview was because I was convinced they were going to start an angle there. And they didn't. And that's what makes that interview all the more fascinating. Apparently, he was swearing a little bit back and forth with McAfee. Not cursing at him, but he was just so comfortable that, you know, he spoke like a relatively regular guy. And I can't recommend the interview enough. And that's from somebody that's not a huge WWE watcher.
Right. Well, I'll definitely check it out before the weekend's through.
Nice. Because... But the big news is Tony Khan buying ROH. There's so much speculation right now about what could be happening.
I'm just excited at the at the thought of ROH continuing on where they were kind of like we didn't know what was going to happen with them. And I'm excited that they actually are going to be continuing on. It's one of my favorite promotions.
Yeah, and if you want to look at it from like almost a base level, it's only going to impact ROH more positively, because the one knock on them has always been production values, that they're a little dark, that they don't, you know, that the camera could be better, there could be better lighting. If right. you look at it now, they really have the potential to like up their production values so much more. And I'm excited with where they're going to be going.
Yeah, I'm excited matches to come. And yet, like you said, we could speculate all day about it, but we really won't know until they present the here's ROH now. And I'm sure they'll take it into a great direction.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of people I didn't even consider. Like, God, you could be getting the OGK in AEW. Bandito has the chance to go in AEW, and I think he fits with the high-flying lucha style a ton.
Yeah. It leaves a lot of questions for me, like, where are they going to go with Danhausen with this? Because they... Danhausen not too long ago, but now they have ROH, so it's almost like...
Have I asked you about your opinion about Danhausen yet?
No, I have mixed views on Danhausen. He's obviously a funny... I got familiar with his vlogs that he puts out, and so I like the character. I just don't know why I like him so much, but he keeps my interest. His wrestling, I haven't seen enough of him to really form a solid opinion on him.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten back in ring. He got hurt about the same time that Mance Warner did. And we've seen Mance Warner has returned to wrestling, but not returned to in-ring action. He will actually be in-ring next week at Center Stage when him and Matthew Justice and the Second Gear crew take on the Hate Club for their tag team championships.
That's when I'll be watching.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as Danhausen, I'm not as much a fan. I can respect the hustle, you know. If you can create a character that gets over and you don't have to take bumps, that's almost like the ideal wrestling setup. But
oh yeah,
I recognize he's a comedy act, but I'm just not a fan. Like, he'll have to do something to win me over. I'm sure there will be a point, but we'll have to see if and when that happens.
I'm at the same spot you are pretty much with him. I mean, I get his comedy and where he's kept going with it. I'm just wondering, with being mixed in with the best friends now, and we've had this conversation before, what does that make like Roppongi Vice look like with being associated with that kind of a comedy act? And there's so much more to best friends than the comedic aspect. I just don't want to see him go overboard with it.
That's true. I mean, they've been associated with comedy even in New Japan, because I mean, the hardcore fans out there will probably take me to task, but I believe Roppongi Vice is a part of the Chaos stable, which they brought the best friends into. And if I'm not mistaken, Tori Yano is a comedy wrestler over in Japan. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but...
I'm not too familiar with New Japan and what's going on with it now, even.
Okay, Tori Yano, he is... From what I understand, he's an accomplished amateur wrestler, but he's got a very big comedy gimmick over there. A lot of the times, he'll try and untie the turnbuckle pads, and then when he gets caught, acts like he doesn't know what's going on. So the whole point of that is Roppongi Vice is associated with comedy, but I feel like if you're not a comedy wrestler and you're associated with comedy inside the wrestling world, it doesn't necessarily help you.
Yeah, it kind of hurts your credibility as to what you're going for. And I don't know. We'll have to see Housen, but until I see him in the ring and see a little bit more of him than what I have in the past, I'm not as enthused as a lot of people might be.
100%. Now, this isn't our normal episode, so we've been talking a little too much AEW. I'm on the edge of my seat to talk about GCW, because last weekend we had a couple big shows, and you've got more notes on the first show. I've got slightly more notes on the second one. Let's jump into this and really start covering this for the people, because the first show, GCW Welcome to Heartbreak,
took place
last Friday, and it had a loaded main event, but I feel like the card leading up to it was just as good.
Oh, I think it was awesome. I liked seeing the first match, the Briscoes, Jay and Mark coming out against Jacob Fatu and Juice Fanu. Am I saying Juicy's name right?
I believe it's Juicy Fanu.
Okay.
You got the Briscoe brothers versus, God, what do they call him? The Samoan Werewolf, Jacob Fatu. And Juicy Fanu is a big Samoan wrestler that, if you've been keeping up with GCW, you've been seeing him on the scene. I believe he's more on the West Coast, but this match was every bit as violent as you would expect.
It was. It was very rough, very hard hitting. And I was even just the Samoan drop that Juicy did on the Mark Briscoe during the match. I had to write it down because it was just impressive textbook looking. And it did not disappoint. But overall, Juicy got put through a door for the win by the Briscoes. But I enjoyed this match, and I wouldn't mind seeing them again.
Oh, yeah. This was a hell of a match to start the show. And this show had no shortage of big matches. Like, even look at the follow-up. Following up this big tag team match to kick it off, you had Nick Wayne versus Blake Christian. Nick Wayne is a huge up-and-comer in not only GCW, but AEW. And Blake Christian is just kind of settling into his return to GCW after being in that WWE system.
Yeah, I'm liking Blake Christian a lot. And this was a really great technical matchup.
And that's the wild thing about seeing Nick Wayne is he grows so much every time we see him in the ring. But, I mean, obviously his age is made the story a lot in the match, but it's not something that I'm always thinking about when I'm watching him in there. So when I'm amazed about how much he's evolving in ring from time to time, you're realizing he's still a kid and he's still learning as he goes. But I mean, so much of his in-ring style, I don't think conveys his age fairly.
It's hard to believe that he's, you know, just 17 and off what he pulls off. And he's already, I mean, he's got the psychology down, his facial expression, the way he sells. I mean, you'd think he was a lot older than he is.
Yeah, he's on top of his game. I mean, I'm sure being... what is it? I believe he's a third generation wrestler.
I think third generation, really, yeah.
And It makes you wonder almost what's in your DNA from having a family in wrestling, or what do you just learn by seeing it so much over the years? And I think when this kid hits AEW in, I'm going to say give it a year and a half, that is going to be an impressive debut. But, I mean, he's honing his skills on the indies right now, so that's really helping a lot.
Yeah, and there's no place that I see him going but up from here. And, I'm excited. Transition into AEW, and I really want them to, and I'm not too worried about, I want AEW to treat him right, to bring him in right, and I don't think that I'll be disappointed in that. But actually Blake went over in this match over Wayne, so I was kind of surprised at that.
But that's surprising because Nick Wayne has gotten a lot of the big wins lately. But Blake Christian is going into that match with Jonathan Gresham coming up next week at Center Stage in Atlanta. And that's a big match. We were supposed to get it at the Hammerstein Ballroom. We did not get it. And now with all the news of AEW picking up ROH, I feel like it makes almost any match involving Gresham that much more interesting. You know, could Blake Christian possibly get a spot in ROH?
Right. Which he could totally fit in right in with those wrestlers.
That's why it's so interesting right now, seeing a lot of these working relationships, seeing who could end up in ROH, and could ending up in ROH be your chance to move up to AEW? Or
I'm sorry, I just lost you. Can you hear me?
Hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay. So the possibility of getting into ROH, does that mean that you could possibly move up to AEW? Or are you just like, will ROH be its own thing? We don't even know yet. It's the news is still so new that everybody's speculating as to what it could be.
Yeah. And we'll just see. I mean, it's a great time once again to be a pro wrestling fan and have all this great stuff happening and all these possible outcomes. I'm excited for it. But our next match, we had Deppin versus Kevin Blackwood. This is the first time I've seen Blackwood.
Kevin Blackwood, he comes out of the Buffalo area with Daniel Garcia.
Okay.
And there's another independent wrestler, Puff, also came out of the same kind of area with them. And it's great to see.
Yeah.
So it's great to see these guys kind of get featured more places now.
Yeah, it was a real great technical match once again, and Blackwood, he seemed like a real stiff opponent, stiff striker.
Yeah, him and Daniel Garcia, you can see some similarities in their game.
Definitely, it makes sense.
Oh yeah,
but Deppin ended up putting on a version of the cattle mutilation and got the win on that one. I think this Deppin kid, man, he is he's just an excellent heel.
Deppin is not only an excellent heel, he's an excellent in-ring talent, and he's kind of been the guy that a lot of people, when they're new to GCW, have to come through. It's almost like if you're new to GCW, you're going to wrestle Tony Deppen. You're going to wrestle Jordan Oliver. You're going to wrestle Jimmy Lloyd to kind of like test you out.
Right. And
this was just anytime I see Tony Deppen in the ring, I'm happy to watch the match.
He's a great wrestler. I so far, out of all I've seen from him, he's just done nothing but impress me. His technical knowledge is second to none. I mean,
yeah. And apparently, Kevin Blackwood is a part of the LA Fights promotion for them. So hopefully we could see him pop up at the Collective on WrestleMania weekend.
Definitely. That would be a nice surprise to it. We go on after that match to Ninja Mac versus Speedball Mike Bailey. And Speedball lives up to his name.
Yeah, he has. Ever since he got cleared to wrestle in the United States, and he's been doing it more, he has been impressing greatly. And, you know, he got that Impact contract not too long after. But even though he's been in Impact, I feel like the things he's doing on the indies, and especially what's going on in GCW for him, has been amazing.
Yeah, he was really impressive in this match to me. And Ninja Mac always impresses me too with the stuff he does. So this whole match that much more exciting. And I thought it was nice that Speedball kick to Mac down through the door. That just struck me as an awesome move that he pulled up.
These guys went up. They climbed a ladder to go up around the ceiling in the Ukrainian Center, and Ninja Mac was thrown from just above the stage down through a table. One of the wilder spots I've seen, but I mean, it just shows you why Ninja Mac is guys getting his name out there.
Oh yeah, I've enjoyed every I've seen him in. So
yeah, and this was a real good matchup. I thought it started off interesting, it ended interesting. I mean, these are two talents you can't go wrong with.
Yeah, they put on a great match. Speedball ultimately got the win on that. This into the GCW Extreme Championship match with ACH versus AJ Gray, Black Death. This was another hard-hitting match to start off with. AJ, another one of those stiff hitters.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's been a big name in GCW. And I mean, you saw how important he was to the promotion when he won the Grab the Brass Ring ladder match at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, and he's totally not let me down in any aspect. And he won that match with a kind of a modified suplex for the win on that. And then he talks how at Joey Janela's spring break he gets match he wants and against anyone he wants, and he calls for John Moxley. So that is something right there. I think
Joey Janela's spring break is already lining up to be a big event. I mean, you got Effie versus Minoru Suzuki, you got Chris Dickinson versus Matt Cardona, you've got AJ Gray versus John Moxley. I'm sure there's other matches they've announced that I can't remember at the moment. But, I mean, they're loading up that event so good just before WrestleMania weekend. I mean, how many weeks are we out now? Probably 3 or 4?
About 3 weeks, I think. Not looking at a calendar just right. But, yeah, I think it's about three, maybe four. But So I'm excited for anything GCW right now. They haven't disappointed me in the least.
No, not at all.
Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Homicide. Very fast-paced match. It was really entertaining. The chair shot into the balls of Homicide. That was just brutal. Wagner Jr., he brings it.
Yeah, he's had... He hasn't done a ton of matches in GCW, but he's been super impressive since he got here. And a lot of it is setting up towards that match at the World on Lucha.
Yeah, and that's the one against Psycho Clown, I believe.
Against Psycho Clown, I believe it's what? Mask versus Hair?
Yeah, Mask versus Hair. So that.
And they did a Mask versus Mask match a couple years ago at AAA where Dr. Wagner lost his mask. So this is a very important rematch, and I'm glad we're getting it in a promotion like GCW.
Oh yeah, I am too. They GCW just has the perfect amount style of wrestling you could think of, and the so far the Lucha matches I've seen are second. They've just demonstrated that they can pretty much throw on any style of match possible. They can turn it into gold.
Oh, 100%.
And then we had, after this, we had was it a scramble or no? It was a man tag. Had Team Reefer, which was Grim Reefer, Jimmy Lloyd, Jordan Oliver, and Jack Cartwheel. And then they called it Second Gear and Friends with Matthew Justice, Gringo, Dark Sheik, and Alley Catch. And Cartwheel really impressed me this whole match.
Yeah, he's a guy that's native to the West Coast, so this, you know, he was going to have a standout show here, and that, you know, I don't know what I can really say about these multi-tag matches, because anything involving Second Gear Crew is going to be a bruiser.
Yeah.
Dark Peak is very talented in the ring. Alley Cat, she's, depending on the match, she can really be a bruiser. So anytime, if you get to see Alley Cat with Second Gear Crew, that's big.
Yeah, and the match, it kept me entertained the whole way through. Gringo Loco, I don't know, is this his signature, that twisting powerbomb that he does?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think off the top of my head now. I believe I've seen him do it fairly regularly. Sorry, it's the end of a long day, so I'm like struggling to think.
Oh, that's fine. I want to say that seen him do it before, but I can't quite remember if that's a false memory or if that's another finish I saw to a match he did. But he does it awesome anyway, and he did that on the Cartwheel for the win. The next match we had was Putrid Papa, Filthy Father, Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson.
Yeah, coming out to the ring for a little bit here.
Yeah, and then it just talks about Josh Barnett's blood sport and tells him he's challenging Minoru Suzuki on March 31st in Dallas.
Again. It's wild that he stepped into the ring with Suzuki once, but to want to get into the ring and call him out again is crazy. But he's also coming off an injury, so I feel like Chris Dickinson almost feels like he's got something to prove getting into that ring.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that. Anything with Minoru Suzuki, I'm interested in.
Especially in a Bloodsport setting.
Yeah, that's going to be huge, and I can't wait to see it. But then after this, it was our main event, where we had the major players, Matt Cardona, Chelsea Green, Brian Myers. It was versus Sean Waltman and Joey Janela. Sean Waltman just looked excellent in this match. He kept up with the pace. It doesn't look like he really has missed a step. He seemed to be in excellent shape.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he looked a little winded, but I couldn't tell if he was playing it up for the match or if that's what it was. It was good to see him in the ring. I was more than excited to see that return. But what I liked about this is on the transition to this match, you had Chris Dickinson call out Matt Cardona for a match at Spring Break.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I totally glossed over that.
So not only does he have a potential Bloodsport match, he has a potential Spring Break match on the horizon. And these are both major matchups for him.
Both really big. From what it looks and sounds like. And I'm still getting familiar with all the ins and outs of GCW, but none of this show disappointed me. The X Factor from the top rope through the door onto Cardona looked great, and they got. And then we see Janela kind of putting over Sean Waltman, and then turns heel and super Sean. And
That was a hell of a way to end this pay-per-view, and it really is kind of, you know, it's building on what happens the next night.
Yeah, it did, which was this called The Coldest Winter.
And where Stagger Lee kind of took the lead on the first show, I'm going to take the lead on this one because I have a little bit more notes on it. Now, started the show off with a video package from the night before, kind of recapping that X-Pac said it was going to be his last match. Then he got super kicked. And then it goes to Joey Janela, an in-ring promo, just kind of complaining why he doesn't get his appreciation, saying he's carried GCW. Comes off sounding a lot like Raven, which Waltman mentions when he interrupts him.
That was an excellent analogy.
And this leads to Waltman issuing Janela a challenge for Spring Break. And, you know, it's setting up the next thing, so I'm excited for that. But the first real match we got on this show is Ninja Mac versus Jack Cartwheel. Perfect match to kick the show off with.
It was. It had a great pace to it. Both of them just lightning quick.
And yeah, you're always going to get an athletic match with these two. And Ninja Mac won the match in 8:31. Again, all our times are according to cagematch.net, the online wrestling database. And I mean, this flew by. 8:31 is not a terribly long match, but when you have two guys as athletic as Ninja Mac and Jack Cartwheel, they made this fly by so much more.
Oh yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like I said earlier, Cartwheel just he's impressive. Ninja Mac is too. I'm not taking anything away from him, but this whole weekend, Jack Cartwheel impressed me.
Yeah, it's like the more you see that guy in the ring, the better he becomes. But speaking of standouts, the match following this, we had Dark Sheik versus Jordan Oliver. Another good technical in-ring match. Dark Sheik can match up well anywhere with anyone she's in the ring with. Jordan Oliver, another one of those GCW gatekeepers. And I'm not surprised to see Oliver get the win in 9:28. But this match was...
How did you like that finish? Kind of an odd finish.
A little odd, but I mean, I'm such a GCW fan that even if there's like a finish here or there that I'm not crazy about, I'm like, well, it's part of the show.
Right.
But this was a good match, but the one following it was a true standout. Thunder Rosa versus Tony Deppen. We talked last show about how Deppen's one of those standout featured players in GCW, and Thunder Rosa is probably one of the bigger guests to come in. And
oh, yeah.
Had a hell of a match during this one.
Both of them were extremely... I'm always impressed with Thunder Rosa and what she can do. But she really pulled it out on this one.
Yeah, and she got the win over Deppen in 17:49, so significantly longer match than we've had up until this point. But
I didn't even notice that it went on that long. Even
these two just did so well in ring that it didn't feel like almost 20 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the match following this was Jimmy Lloyd versus Alex Zane in a do-or-die death match. And I believe we talked about it last week with Cole Radrick not regularly being in a death match. You don't see Alex Zane in a death match too often. And
yeah, I think they said this was his first death match.
Yeah, he went through some shit. He got beat up pretty bad. I saw pics after the match where he was tore open. But they gave Nick Cage a different kind of role in this match, and he introduced it, which I wouldn't say ring introductions are his strong point. I'm sure he's new to it. But, I mean, you got to feature this guy in different ways because he's got the only GCW contract, and you don't know how much longer he's got in ring, so it's good to see him doing different things. And introducing a death match is some of the perfect use of him.
And he's hosting the deathmatch show too, isn't he?
Yeah, Alex Colon's Planet Death.
Planet Death, yeah, that's it. And that's one I'm not gonna miss either. It was my first time getting to see this side of Jimmy Lloyd thus far.
Oh, getting to see the real deathmatch side of him.
Yeah. Yeah, it showed his versatility, and both of them did excellent. And like you said,
Jimmy Lloyd's not afraid of a death match. It's been nice to see him kind of matched up against more kind of like regular opponents lately, or more regular matches. But I mean, he pulled off the match winning this death match at 11:20, and like I said, Zane took a lot of punishment, and I don't know if we need to see Alex Zane in a death match. He's a good enough in-ring talent that I don't know if he needs to take that extra step.
He doesn't, but he certainly did a damn good job.
Definitely. Now, the next match coming up, Team LA Fights, which consists of Hunter Freeman, Jai Vidal, Jordan Cruz, and Sandra Moore, versus the Second Gear crew of Matthew Justice and AJ Gray, and Bussy of Effie and Allie. A huge 8-person tag match. Only went 9 minutes and 56 seconds. I thought it was helpful because I don't watch a ton of LA Fights, so it introduced me to some of the characters from the LA Fights promotion. But I'm always happy to see Second Gear crew and Bussy in the ring. And they really did a number on him. This was a perfectly paced match. And, you know, I saw the outcome that I was hoping for.
That's good. And that's where I sort of tell you the truth, I fell asleep, and it was because I was just so tired, and it was late last night that I was trying to catch up all my notes and everything. So that was the one I did not get to see the finish on, and sounds like I missed a damn good match.
Yeah, we'll move right along because Kevin Blackwood returned again tonight, and he faced Grim Reaper. And this is interesting because Grim Reaper has kind of served as the elder statesman of GCW, whereas Kevin Blackwood isn't a rookie to the game, but he's kind of newer to this promotion. So it's kind of like new guy versus veteran, and Kevin Blackwood pulled off the win in 9 minutes and 53 seconds. Just continuing to impress. I feel like he's going to be a major player in GCW going forward.
Yeah, I was impressed with him. The one match I saw, and I'm sure he held up during this one too, because if you say it's a good match, I know it's a good match. Please rely on your word about it.
Definitely. Now, the next match was resident lucha expert Gringo Loco versus Mascara Dorada, fresh off that WWE run. And it's good to see him in GCW. We saw him the prior weekend versus Joey Janela.
Right.
But here you're getting to see him in a lucha competition with Gringo Loco. And Gringo Loco got the win in 10:48. This was another match worth seeing. It's kind of one of those things, if you're near the main event of a GCW card, any of those matches are going to be good. And the Kevin Blackwood Grim Reaper match was like an appetizer. This was like a really good side dish. And leading up to that main entree, Thursday, March 24th, GCW is going to be at the Roxy in Los Angeles. And that's huge because there's been...
That is huge.
Plenty of, you know, plenty of big bands have played there.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, it's wild to hear they're going there. They're going to any, like, number of big venues now.
The venue that they were in too, I think, was a pretty big punk rock center too.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with the Ukrainian Cultural Center, but
I guess Minor Threat have played there, and Henry Rollins band they mentioned, and it Suicidal Tendencies was one, so. That place is no stranger to its punk rock shows.
Yeah, Kevin Gill is big into the punk rock music scene, so just being that deep into it and being able to, you know, being on that side of the country, he's got to be like way more familiar. The Roxy almost stands out to anybody because I feel like any number of thrash and heavy metal bands have played there. And the main event of tonight,
rock all the way up.
Oh yeah, the main event of tonight, which honestly I was surprised to see it get the main event, but Speedball Mike Bailey has been a huge name re-emerging in GCW, and Blake Christian has been on a tear, and this was the main event of this event. And I thought it lived up. I mean, went 24 minutes, 19 seconds. And God, GCW, it's been such a blur for me, I feel like, this year. Because it seems like every 2 weeks, we get 2-3, like, major matches. And it's just been... It's been exciting. Like, being new to GCW, how does the pace of their shows releasing feel? Because it's got to be like a whirlwind for you. It feels like every week we have something new to talk about or some new show to try and review.
It does. It does. It has kind of like took me by storm. so to speak. I've been nothing but impressed with GCW ever since our first show that we did, The World on GCW. I've been so caught in it, and they have not disappointed me at all. Not a single show, I would say, would have been a quote a bad show. All the matches seem to be just excellently booked and executed. And I mean, I'm sure that they're not all going to be 5 chair shot matches, but they've come pretty close for me. I'm far from through with GCW. It's something I want to continue doing with you and keep watching. I think they're pacing it very nicely, and the two shows give you that extra bit of wrestling that you crave. One show just doesn't seem to satisfy it when you get these two shows back to back like that, because there's so much great talent that they feature and that they have. I'm just looking forward to the weeks and months to come with them.
Definitely. Now let's end the show like we usually do with our ratings. Let's see. For Welcome to Heartbreak, I'm gonna have to give that 4 chair shots, because I feel like they really gave you the hook to lead into the next show.
Right.
Coldest Winter, I'm gonna give 3.75. It was like just about as good, but it wasn't quite where that first one was.
From what I saw of Coldest Winter, I would give 4 chair shots to each show myself. But I haven't, like the last 3 matches that you discussed, I haven't had a chance to see, but I'm sure they don't disappoint. So I'm giving them both 4 chair shots. Found it really hard to come up with the wrestler of the week here, but I'll have to say Tony Deppen.
That is a good standout.
Yeah, he impressed me the most overall, and everybody was impressive, but he's most to me.
I'm going to have to look, and I think I'm going to have to give it to Ninja Mac just for that fall from above the stage down through the table.
That was sick.
And another thing about Ninja Mac is he is featured on ROH's Supercard of Honor show.
Oh, sweet.
Mainly because he's a Texas talent and they're down in that area, but getting to see him get that feature on a bigger stage is very interesting.
What's the other name that he's going by? Kamikaze?
Kamikaze. I'm not 100% on when he uses the different, but I've heard him referred to as like Ninja Kamikaze Mac. They'll regularly call him that at shows and then say they don't know which name he's going by.
Yeah, that's where I got confused, because MLJ always says Nick Mikazi Mac, and then on the commentary, it's a different story.
Yeah, it's one of those things where he's got different names, and it's weird because he's not even dealing with the WWE.
Yeah. Strange. Well, both shows keep me wanting more GCW. I 100%. Got nothing but respect. I would put them as above, or well, it's kind of a bold statement, but I would put them above ECW at this point in the game, with their versatility. Taking it a step further with the death matches, they just have everything I like about pro wrestling, and I think any who is a pure pro wrestling fan, anybody could enjoy GCW.
definitely now, guys. Join us again soon when, you know, we'll talk to you about this past week's AEW and Dynamite and Rampage, because these are going to be big episodes to cover. Because so when we put the episode out, it'll be last week's Rampage, this week's Dynamite, and we might even have to throw in this week's Rampage just leading up to, we're going to have a bonus episode where we're going to cover Revolution.
Yeah, I'm thinking that we're just, what I was thinking is we just do this past Dynamite review, tonight's Rampage, so we're kind of caught up in that, and then go
we'll just do the two newest episodes then.
Yeah, that seems, that probably work the best, and then we will have an extra episode for Revolution, which I've been excited for weeks and can't wait. I finally went to Bleacher Report and got it ordered, so I'm set on that.
Nice. Well, guys, thank you for joining us for another week of Unscripted Violence, and we will see you next week.
Yes, see you next week, guys, and we cannot thank you enough for listening to Unscripted Violence.